I didn't feel my phone buzz. 13, oh no. Oh, okay, we'll go over these quickly. I realize small group time, okay? Well, okay, here's the first one. If we don't ever repent of certain sins, are we still saved? That's a good question. There's two ways to kind of think about that. Here's the first one. Were you saved in the first place if you don't ever repent of a sin that the Holy Spirit brings to mind? Okay? God disciplines those he loves, and sometimes, if you're asking that question, God has kind of pulled back a little bit because there's something in your life that he wants you to deal with him, and you don't want to deal with it. Deal with it. See, the sin in your life says, am I still saved, or are we still saved? I think the better question is if you don't ever repent of certain sin that God is revealing to you, the question would probably be better asked, are you saved? Okay. I'm not talking about a certain sin that somebody else points out in your life. You need to deal with that right now. I'm talking about something the Holy Spirit brings up. And you're kind of, I don't want to talk about that right now. That's a dangerous game to start playing. Author of Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Okay? And I don't know the answer to that question in the sense of, I don't know if you are saved or not. You know that. What we looked at in Romans 8 was that God's Spirit testifies with our spirit, that those who are in Christ have the Spirit of God and are led by the Spirit of God. So if God's Spirit is leading you to deal with the sin, deal with it. This isn't about keeping your salvation, okay? This is about dealing with your sin. Okay? Does that make sense? Some of these questions, we're going to have to wait for tough questions, okay? But for now, we got to keep going because I got like 13 of these, all right? 14, I think it buzzed again. All right. Okay, Brad and Mandy are set back. Wait, that's old. Okay. In light of our series, can Jesus be my Savior but not my Lord? No. I don't think so. I think like when we talk about Savior and Lord, we're talking about a chicken and an egg kind of thing. Romans 10, a little bit later, says that we need to confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible talks about in Timothy and Titus that Jesus is the Savior of all men, especially those who are saved. Okay, so there's this element that Christ is a Savior. His sacrifice paid for the sins, potentially, of all people. It's a gift, though. It's something that has to be received. Here's the thing. When Jesus becomes your Savior, when we understand what that means, he becomes our Lord. The two go hand in hand. But I think Christ is our Savior before he's our Lord. I don't understand scripture to say, clean up your life and then come to Jesus. And sometimes understanding Jesus as Lord versus Savior means that. Like, get Jesus reigning over your whole life and then he'll save you. That smacks of works to me. Jesus saves you and he becomes your Lord. Okay? Remember in Romans 6 where we talked about it, we were slaves to sin, now we're slaves to righteousness. Saved from sin, now we have a master, we have a Lord who's leading us in righteousness. Okay, makes sense? You can always text me back and go, Jeff, that was really lame. Okay, next one. I feel like my ordination. How is sin transmitted from Adam to everyone? Oh, gosh. There is a verse in the Old Testament saying that the son will not be held accountable for his father's iniquities. Yep. Chapter 5, verse 13 says sin was not counted where there was no law. Good. Okay, I think I addressed it, chapter 5, verse 13, when we talked about it. What that means is that it doesn't mean that there was no sin. What it means is it wasn't counted. Okay, there was no ledger. For example, okay, I think I used the example of the Autobahn experience that I had, where I thought driving on the Autobahn meant there was no speed limit anywhere, anytime. The reality is the Autobahn, there are only certain sections where there's no speed limit. It depends on the weather and everything else. Question, was I breaking the speed limit even though I didn't know there was a law? Right, okay. So that answers the question about sin was not counted where there was no law. What it means is that sin was not realized as sin in the sense of it was not compared to a law and then saying, oh, look, you broke it. Okay, but that doesn't mean there wasn't sin. If we go back in Romans to chapter 3, it talks about how, or chapter 2, it talks about how sin is part of even it's, we have a conscience that tells us of our sins. So we're without excuse, even if we don't have the law. We've always been without excuse because of a conscience, but also because of creation. We see that there is a God. Okay? So how was sin transmitted from Adam to everyone? Great question. That's one of those crazy truths that we don't understand. Let me throw it this way. How is Jesus' righteousness given to you? Because if you don't like the one because you didn't do it, then it's kind of hard to say you'll take the other because you didn't do it either. Now, here's the thing. Some theologians think that in Adam we all sin. Remember I talked about semen? Remember? Yeah, you're all like, what? I just woke up. What? Okay, it's called seminal headship. Okay, some theologians, very few these days, but back in medieval times and before that, thought that we all sinned in Adam because all of our genes were in Adam. Okay, and that's true, right? So somehow we kind of inherited sin and its consequences. So there's an element of truth to that, just in the sense that we were raised by sinful parents who were raised by sinful parents. We came from sinful parents who came from sinful parents who came from sinful parents. We are born into the realm of sin. That's what David talks about when he says, in sin, my mother conceived me. It doesn't mean that the act of sex was sin. What it means is he entered the world of sin through a vessel of sin. We are just dirty with sin, okay? So Adam's sin is transmitted to us in some sense in the fact that we were part of what Adam did and that we were in that. But I think to a greater extent is the idea that Adam is our representative. That's what Romans 5 really talks about. Adam represented the human race and he dropped the ball. But here's the deal. Jesus represents the new human race. Okay, if you want to put it that way. And Jesus was without sin. Jesus didn't fall for the devil's lies and traps. And we can be found in him. Okay, do I understand totally how we were in Adam? Or how God can count Adam's sin against us? Or how it was transmitted? No, I don't. Again, another one of those wonderful truths that I don't really get it. E didn't know we were texting questions to you tonight. Okay. I think Lucas sent that. Okay. If we are justified and we have no charges or no condemnation, then how do you go to hell? You kind of sound like Rob Bell. Ouch. Well, if you've been around here long enough, you know that that would not be what I would want. What about the eternal sin of blasphemy to the Holy Spirit? Ah, okay. Well, no charges and no condemnation. I don't know how that would sound like Rob Bell. How can you go to hell? I think the most important thing is what I said at the beginning of in Jesus. In Jesus. Okay? That's huge. If that's not huge for you, like circle Jesus really big, okay? Here's the deal with Rob Bell. Rob Bell says that it's in Jesus, but there's no faith involved in Jesus. Okay? Romans 9:27 says it's appointed once for man to die and then to face judgment. Okay? Rob Bell believes that you can more than this, but he, it starts with this. I've read Love Wins. I read it before it came out, okay? Here's what's going on with Rob Bell. Rob Bell says that love wins, i.e., love is, God's love is so compelling that even if we reject Christ while on earth, we won't face judgment, at least not eternal judgment. We'll be sent to hell, but God, or actually Rob Bell says that heaven will just be like hell, like when you're forced to go to grandma's when you don't want to be there. Okay, Rob Bell argues that everybody kind of gets wooed by God, and eventually, love will win. Eventually, you'll get so sick and tired of God loving you so much and everybody being so happy in heaven. Eventually, you'll just give in and love will win. That's not in the Bible. Okay? Matthew 25, Jesus says, look, at the end, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to send some to eternal life and the rest eternal death. Okay? It's appointed once for man to die and then to face judgment. There is no purgatory. There is no love wins and one kind of cosmic heaven where it just feels like hell depending on what you think about Jesus. Okay? That's not in Scripture. So I'm sorry if I sound like Rob Bell. The problem is, like with most heresies, there's some truth and then a lot of error. Hot air and then error. Okay? Does that make sense? We have no condemnation and we have no charges against us, not because there wasn't condemnation and charges, but because of Christ. And the Romans talks about how we receive Christ through faith. Okay? And that's now. It's not after we die. Okay? Oh, man, they keep coming. I must be digging a hole. All right. If Christ died for everyone and he is merciful and loving, why isn't everyone saved? That's a really good question. Do you want the easy answer or the hard answer? Both? Okay, let's start with the easy answer, okay? The easy answer is because not everybody wants to be saved. Not everybody thinks they need to be saved. Go around on university campuses and say, you know, Jesus came to save you from your sins. How many would say, one, don't believe in Jesus. Two, don't believe in sin. So, don't need any saving. Okay? All right? It's the same as like you're sitting in your burning house or you're drowning and a lifeguard comes. You go, I am not drowning. I'm fine. I will be good on my own. Unless you are Rob Bell, you believe that God lets you be on your own. Okay? Does that kind of make sense? Okay, that's the easy answer. Here's the harder answer. We're getting into predestination. Here's the reality. God, for whatever reason, hasn't chosen everybody. Romans 9 is exactly kind of answering that question, because Paul kind of brings up the whole thing that I'm sure he was being asked about. If this is so true, if God's mercy and promises are so good, then what about the Old Testament? What about the people of Israel? What about them? And he goes on to say, look, God chooses whom he's going to save and who he isn't. He did it in the Old Testament, and he's doing it now. But then right after that, he goes into Romans 10 and he talks about the good news and he says, how can they be saved if they don't hear the gospel? And how are they going to hear the gospel if nobody preaches it? And how is anybody going to preach it if they don't get sent? And then it goes into what we talk about when we talk about accepting Christ. Okay? Here's the thing. If you are spending all your time complaining about the fact that God didn't choose everybody, you're missing the boat. When God talks about choosing people in Scripture, it's always meant to be an encouragement, like what we looked at tonight and last week. Okay? It's like this. We aren't getting it if we are complaining. Because if we really cared about the people that we thought weren't chosen, then we'd be trying to tell as many people as possible the gospel, because we would want those people to accept Christ. From God's point of view, he knows, and he is calling people to himself. From our point of view, Jesus died for the whole world. He loves the whole world. He has not come back because he wants more people to be saved. That's what we need to know. And when it comes to choosing, the choice of him choosing us is supposed to give us great comfort and peace. It's not meant to go, well, why didn't he choose him? Well, why didn't he choose him? That's like me saying, Ruth, will you marry me? And her going, well, what about her? What about her? What about her? I'd be like, I just chose you. I love you. What do you mean, what about her? I'm talking to you. And here's the thing, from a human point of view, we don't know. And so when I share the gospel with Hannah, everything I'm saying is true. God loves you. He died for you. He sent his son for you. That's all true. Hannah has to choose to accept that. God knows if he chose Hannah and if he's going to woo in her heart to bring. But from my point of view, I need to do that. Is that fair? Remember, Jesus doesn't send people to hell. We were going there already. So if we want to play fair, the reality is God didn't have to choose any of us. And now we're treading into things that I don't really understand. All right, okay. Oh, now you're starting to quote me. That's never good. Okay, Jeff, you said nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Well, I didn't say that. Paul said that, but we'll go with me, okay? Does that mean that once we're saved, we're always saved? Perseverance of the saints. I'd say yes. Okay, good. I'm not going to explain that. You know what I mean, and I'm saying yes. All right. Oh, the question of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, a lot of us don't even really know what that means. Okay? Here's what I think it means. And smarter men than me have taught me this. That blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is speaking against the Holy Spirit. It is when I share the gospel with Hannah and the Holy Spirit goes, this is true. This is right. Because remember, Jesus said he was going to send the Spirit to convict people of sin. Okay? I think blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is living your whole entire life saying, no, no, no. That's the unforgivable sin. Why? Because that's the committing of sin that Jesus can't save you from. It's the saying, no, get out of my burning house. I don't believe it's burning, okay? But again, that's a tough question, okay? If God has chosen us before we were born, are we predestined to either heaven or hell? Yeah. A short answer? Yeah. Do I understand all that? Now we're getting into extreme theology. Ryan Reed can help you with lapsarianism and all that stuff, okay? That we're getting into crazy stuff. Also, can you announce about volunteers for decorating? Yeah. Yeah, they need help decorating, so you can see Joanna and Kelly later. Okay. God knows our lives and decisions, including the decision to never follow him. Something, wouldn't he intervene or have someone intervene to win them for Christ? Here's the thing. God has intervened. He stepped into history. His son took on flesh. God has intervened in your life because he's put people around you who know the gospel. God has intervened because he has given us the gospel. So if you know people who are perishing, literally, you have the cure. So is God intervening? Yeah, he's intervening all the time. At the same time, God, I don't believe that God forces anybody. Because where's the love in that? That's what's so weird about Love Wins and Rob Bell. Where's the love in that? Like, to me, it sounds more like a hostage taking than love wins. Force wins. Okay, what about people? Okay, what about in Matthew where it says, if you denounce the Holy Spirit, you cannot be forgiven? Again, that's what I was talking about with blasphemy. What about people who become believers, then get overwhelmed by life and give up? There's two ways of looking at that. One is that they were never believers. 1 John talks about how the fact that they left shows that they were never really a part of us. Okay, remember the parable of the seeds that Jesus talks about? The gospel goes out, that's the seed, and it falls on different soil, different hearts, different lives. And then it says some find good soil and they're good. Others, the enemy steals it away. Okay, there's lies or propaganda or whatever else, sin. And then others, it says the cares of this world choke it and it dies. There's a sense in which people can hear the gospel, okay? And they can make mental assent to the gospel, but never actually receive the gospel. And really, that's where the other question about perseverance of the saints, those who persevere show that they were truly saved. Okay? We're going to talk a little bit about doubt and struggle and stuff when we look at Jude, okay? Jesus doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose to go when we reject Jesus' gift. One can only come to Jesus when one chooses to go. Thoughts. Am I off in your mind? 15 now. Oh, yeah, we have more questions. Anyway, I don't know what that meant. Jesus doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose to go when we reject Jesus' gift. No, we should choose not to be saved when we reject Jesus' gift, okay? Everybody's going to hell apart from Christ. Christ saves us from hell, okay? So one can only come to Jesus when one chooses to go. Yeah, thoughts, great. I have lots of thoughts about that. We'll have to talk later. Okay, I'm almost done here. Though the Bible says that nothing can separate us from his love, how about those people who separate from his love? Again, I would quote 1 John. The fact that they leave shows that they were never really a part of it. Okay? Does that... Last one, okay? What is the relationship between righteousness and justification and grace? Seriously? Listen to the sermons online and then talk about it. Okay, here's the thing. Justification and righteousness are often in Romans the same word. Okay? We are righteously justified. Okay? So righteousness in Romans can mean two things. It can mean right standing. We've been declared righteous, and it can mean righteous as in moral behavior or holiness. Okay? In this series, we looked at it. In Christ, we are declared righteous. We have right standing. We are justified. Okay? Righteousness is what we begin to live out as Christ's Spirit works in and through us. We become more righteous, i.e., we become kind of like me growing into being a husband. On the day I was married, I became a husband. I am still becoming a husband. Okay? Grace? Grace basically means unmerited favor. Okay? It means that you have nothing to deserve the good thing that you're getting. So the gospel is grace for sure. Okay? Not that I'm complaining. Yeah, free will, all that good stuff. Great question. We tackled it in our tough questions last year. For those of you who are here, your brains probably still hurt from that, okay? If you ask that question, I'd love to talk to you more about it. We just don't have the time now. Good questions, okay? You can keep sending your texts. I'll keep reading them, and I will try to respond to them later or ask for your email and send you, or we can grab a coffee, stuff like that, okay? All of that aside, never forget, in Jesus. Forever justified, forever loved. And in Jesus means accepting the gospel by faith. Understanding that the gospel is a gospel of grace. It is undeserved in every way. All we can do is receive it. Trust in it.